You're listening to Montezuma Mixtape. On this show, we provide evidence to the claim that each and every individual has at least one story they can tell well. That's the story we tell around the campfire when we warm our hands and ears are open. The story we tell on the first date to conjure laughter from across the table. The story that brings the party to a huddle and the night becomes a brimming reservoir of curiosity and superstitious happenstance. These stories are about ourselves, or stories we heard about someone else. About the blushing cockatiel your grandfather taught to verbally abuse house guests. Or the story of the ghost that converted your atheist boss into a superstitious man. These stories are heartwarming or disturbing, God's honest truth, or a load of bunk. To put it simply, these stories are good stories, moving, memorable, and repeatable. The purpose of this show is to cultivate these stories, give them a megaphone, and show that a small town county is without exception full of big stories. Stories are what turn a community into a place of characters. Let's become familiar. This is an icebreaker where old news is encouraged. The second component of this show is music. Music to show how stories find new expression in other mediums and art forms that place us deeper into a thatching. Each episode, there will be an originally curated mixtape that aligns with the story, not necessarily stylistically, but thematically. So listen close and connect the dots.
Venezuela. I was born in 1980. My mom is a Venezuelan national, and my dad is, was an Italian immigrant. I went to Catholic school for 13 years of my life, from kindergarten through senior year. And classes in Venezuela started at 7 a.m. every day. So in anticipation of having to wake up at 5 in the morning, I would take a shower at night before going to bed and sleep in my school uniform, because we had to wear school uniform, without my mom knowing about it. So when I woke up in the morning, I was ready to go. So I didn't have to shower and change and all that. So on a Tuesday morning on February 4th of 1992, I was 12 years old to be precise, my mom comes, as usual, in the room, you know, to what I think it's to wake me up. Well, to my surprise, instead she says in a very, very kind of nervous, strange voice, Lily, you know, don't worry today, stay in bed, there's no school today, you know, stay in bed, mi amor, don't move. Now, you have to understand, my parents never, ever had allowed me to miss one day of school. I had to be dying. I mean, my fever had to be like above 120 to, you know, miss school, basically. So this was very suspicious. I rubbed my eyes and kind of half asleep asked my mom, how come there's no school today, mom? And I hear her clear her throat like, well, honey, the military is overthrowing the government. So there's no school today. Just stay in bed. What? You know, for like 10 milliseconds, I'm like there.
Through the corridors asleep, past shadows dark and deep, my mind dances and leaps in confusion. I don't know what is real, I can't touch what I feel, and I hide behind the shield of my illusion. So I'll continue to pretend my life will never end, and flowers never bend with the rainfall. The mirror on my wall casts an image dark and small, but I'm not sure at all it's my reflection. I'm blinded by the light of God and truth and right, and I wander in the night without direction. So I'll continue to pretend my life will never end, and flowers never bend with the rainfall. No matter if you're born to play the king or pawn, for the line is thinly drawn between joy and sorrow. So my fantasy becomes reality, and I must be what I must be and face tomorrow. So I'll continue to pretend my life will never end, and flowers never bend with the rainfall.
Honey, the military is overthrowing the government, so there's no school today. Just stay in bed. What? You know, for like 10 milliseconds, I'm like there, still in bed, kind of paralyzed. And I thought I was dreaming. You know, it must be a nightmare. How is this possible? You know, we lived in a very stable society. We had two long-standing political parties, much like the U.S. Republican and Democratic parties. They alternated power, and it was a democracy. How could the military be overthrowing the government? We had a beautiful life. You know, we had friends. We went to the beach every weekend. Life was good. So after those 10 milliseconds of confusion, I came back and pretty much jumped. I jumped out of bed with my uniform on. And I could hear, it was, you know, the reality check hit pretty quickly because I could hear the fighter planes flying all over my city. So it wasn't a nightmare after all, unfortunately. So I left my room, and under the noise, you could hear shootings and jet fighter planes. So it was a very surreal feeling. So I joined my parents and my siblings who were watching TV, and every TV station was broadcasting the same, which was the military announcing that they were overthrowing the government.
Side of a northern sea, the army has
You know, they were overthrowing the democratic elected government. So we all looked at each other without words, in shock. You know, what could we possibly say to each other? It was, there's no words to describe, you know. And then, boom! You know, big explosion, or what we thought was an explosion. Of course, it had failed, and, you know, it had dropped the bomb right next to my house. We all run and hide under the dining table, which seemed to be shaking. You know, the windows broke, the glass broke. It was pretty powerful. And at this point, I guess it's important to share that my dad has he's one of seven, and has four sisters, and one of them, it's Lazia Mimi, which Aunt Mimi. She was visiting us at that time from Italy. She would come and stay like periods of 6 months to a year in Caracas from Milan, Italy. So poor thing, imagine the poor, you know, the bad luck to have to go through this on her vacation in a foreign, beautiful, you know, foreign, beautiful tropical country. So at least we're all Venezuelans, but she's Italian, you know? She doesn't really belong there in our chaotic tropical mess. So we find ourselves under the dining table, my mom, my sister, me, and Aunt Mimi, Lazia Mimi. We're all shaking, and, you know, where's my dad? You know, a bomb just exploded right next to our house. Where is he? You know, my Lazia Mimi, who grew up in World War II and fascism, in Italy, she's under the bed, under the table, going like, mamma mia, la terza guerra mondiale. You know, she literally thinks she's going through another war. She's probably reliving all the memories from the Second World War in Italy. She wants to go home, but she can't go home. The airports are closed, the supermarkets are closed, schools are closed, there's nowhere to go but the safe space under the dining table. So from under our, you know, safe refuge right there, we hear my dad, his name was Giampiero, walk towards us. He's whistling. He comes like, you know.
She left a week to roam, your protector's coming home. Keep your secrets with you, girl, safe from the outside. You walk along the stream, your head caught in a waking dream. Your protector coming home. As you lay to die beside me, baby, on the morning that you came, would you wait for me? The other one would wait for me. As you lay to die, yeah.
you know, we were like, what the heck? What is he thinking, you know? And he kneels down, looks at us, and starts laughing and making fun of us. Of course, we should have known it was not a bomb. You know, it was one of the planes broke the sound barrier, so they make a sound that sounds like a bomb, but yeah. It's not. Wow. Of course, everybody thought that it was an explosion, but I had the dad who had gone through World War II, so he knew about it. So he says, get out of there. You know, we all get out of the, you know, under the dining table. And he grabs my hand and takes me upstairs to the penthouse to watch the planes, you know, the fighter jet planes fly Caracas, my city. I think my dad, who also grew up in the war as a kid, just like my Aunt Mimi, he was reliving everything. And but, you know, different than my aunt, he found everything that was happening quite amusing and entertaining. He was having a blast, you know. He had his binoculars, and I don't know, he was in a mission. And I imagine this is how he survived the war, you yeah. know, like through playing the war as if it was a game
yeah.
or an adventure in his imagination. So, you know, it was quite fun to be in the roof deck with my dad, watching the planes, seeing the tanks, wow. here, you know, seeing all this from up in the, you know, up high. And as we were up there, boom, another explosion. Luckily, this time I knew it wasn't I was able to see that it was actually a plane.
Yeah.
Breaking the barrier sound and not a bomb,
mm-hmm.
and you know there was smoke everywhere. There were sirens. This must have impacted me somehow. and then the announcement: the military had failed to overthrow the government. They surrendered, and it was good. You know, all the neighbors we gathered, and all my family, and you know we were. We're all pretty nervous. I think the kids, we were kind of nervous and having fun, and yay, there wasn't school, so that was kind of fun then. So at that moment, my mom turns around and says, Liliana, you know, Lily, what the hell are you doing with the school uniform on? So I guess, at that moment, she realizes that I wasn't waking up and, you know, at 5 in the morning, taking a shower as she had expected. I was sleeping in my school uniform. Later that year, on November 27th, as I had said in the beginning, this coup d'etat had happened on February 4th of 1992.
Yeah.
The second attempt of the military to overthrow the democratic elected government happened again that year,
wow.
later in November. So it was a very unstable year. We had to miss school for many weeks, which eventually got really boring. You
yeah.
know, I wanted to go to school, you know, and see my friends. You know, there were food shortages, supermarkets closed, and there was just a lot of social unrest. Those days of peace and stability were gone. And then I started at 12 years of age to not take things for granted. Every day I could go to school, I would enjoy it. Every time the supermarket was open, it was an adventure to go with my mom. And every day became a brand new day to celebrate life and be thankful. Because, you know.
I see my freedom from across the way. And it comes right in on time. But it shines so bright. Yet it gives so much light. Yet it comes from the sky above. Make me feel so free. Make me feel like me. Yet it lasts. My life with love, yet it seems like, yet it feels like. double-crossed with my hands behind my back. I was long time hurt and thrown in the dirt, shoved out on the railroad track. I've been used, abused, and so confused. And I didn't have no word to run, but I stood and looked, and my eyes got hooked on that beautiful morning sun. And it seemed like, yes, it feels like, yes, it seems like, oh, yes, it feels like a brand new day, a brand new day, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the sun shines down on all the ground. Yeah, the grass is so, so green. Yeah, my heart is still. Yeah, I got the will. Yeah, I don't really feel so mean. Here it comes.
Our guest today has been Lily Argento with her story about growing up in Venezuela and the morning she woke up to a military coup. You've been listening to Montezuma Mixtape, the show that explores the idea that everyone has at least one story they tell well. If you're ready to tell yours, contact us by sending us an email at montezumamixtape@gmail.com.
For a full track listing of this week's musical selection, please visit our website, montezumamixtape.wordpress.com, where you'll also find downloadable versions of all our episodes.
Montezuma Mixtape is produced by myself, Greg Harple, and Ian Mott.
Many thanks go to our storytellers and to KSJD, Dryland Community Radio.
Join us again next time, same place, for another story.
Was that the end of you sleeping in your school clothes?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much. So I started appreciating waking up early.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, it was a trick that my sister had passed down to me. Uh-huh. And then my mom had never discovered. I guess they didn't have to go through the test when they were younger, you know?
Right. Yeah, it took an overthrow of the government to change a habit.